I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I think your answer below, I'm going to give you a chance to say if you stay by it. If the president decides that his rival is a corrupt person and he orders the military or orders someone to assassinate him, is that within his official acts that for which he's can get immunity?
It would depend on the hypothetical, but we can see that could well be an official act.
It could, and why? Because he's doing it for personal reasons. He's not doing it at, like President Obama is alleged to have done it, to protect the country from a terrorist. He's doing it for personal gain. And isn't that the nature of the allegations here, that he's not doing them, doing these acts in furtherance of an official responsibility? He's doing it for personal gain.
Well, that is the opinion as expressed by Justice Sonia Sotomayor. She was appointed by Barack Obama, by the way, in 2009, and of course been on the court since that time. And she is one of the liberal justices that are trying to tear apart the case that Donald Trump gets no immunity, especially on some cases or a few cases or no cases, or it's all up in the air still. It's very confusing. And we're going to try to break it down for you. But already I'm beginning to sense a shift inside the court that I think I will agree with Jonathan Turley, George Washington University professor, law professor, which you're going to hear from a little bit later, that these shifting sands are turning into a quagmire for the justices, even conservative justices. We'll break it down for you. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, April 25, 2024. You thought I was going to say October, didn't you? I did, too. I suddenly said, nope, flip the calendar all the way from October to April. I don't know where October came from. I had no explanation other than I am an idiot, and you know that in many cases. Glad to have you on board. We're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m., and when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You can see how much of an idiot I really am by simply watching. You go to News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, or Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. If you miss anything, you can pull up the audio and our video podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. And, of course, available in various other forms and locations as well. We like you to use ours, but whatever you do, glad to have you do it. Watch it, listen to it, and then push that share button. I see more and more of you are doing that. Do you have any idea of the effect you are having on exploding this audience? Simply when you watch or listen on a podcast later and you push share and you send it to 1, 5 friends, 10 friends, and then they do the same. And I'm not just talking about in this area. I'm talking about well beyond here. But, of course, for this area, let me remind you, there is one number you need to remember when it comes to News Talk STL. One number, and that is number one. Number one in live conservative talk for you. And we have numerous programs, not just this one, but we're here for you every day. And our numbers are growing because of you, and we thank you. And please continue to support our sponsors. They help keep us on the air. So that was a clip of the hearing in front of the Supreme Court today as Justice Sotomayor was asking questions of actually the former Missouri Solicitor General, who's also serving as a Trump attorney, that'd be John Sauer. Let's pick up with another question. She's already made it clear that she thinks Trump was doing all this for personal gain and there should be no immunity. That's where she's leading. But let's pick it up and follow with the additional line of questioning.
He's not doing them, doing these acts in furtherance of an official responsibility. He's doing it for personal gain.
I agree with that characterization of the indictment, and that confirms immunity, because the characterization is that there's a series of official acts that were done for an unlawful purpose.
No, because immunity says even if you did it for personal gain, we won't hold you responsible. How could that be?
That's an extremely strong doctrine in this court's case law in cases like Fitzgerald.
Well, we go back to Justice Thomas's question, which was, where does that come from? There are amici here who tell us that the founders actually talked about whether to grant immunity to the president. And in fact, they had state constitutions that granted some criminal immunity to governors. And yet, they didn't take it up. Instead, they pass an impeachment clause that basically says you can't remove the president from office except by a trial in the Senate, but you can impeach him after.
Impeach him afterwards. Now, again, these oral arguments took place earlier today for about 2 hours. All this is based on Donald Trump's claim immunity in the special counsel Jack Smith's federal election subversion case. That's what they're focusing on. It has nothing to do with the hush money trial in Manhattan. Has nothing to do with anything else. It's the Jack Smith federal election subversion case as applied by Jack Smith, who again is one of the progressive regressives, or regressive progressives, they're the same thing, trying to nail Donald Trump and take him out of the running. But he's pulled some very fast moves on them, even though he's got to be in court. Today, before court, he visited a construction site, and he got cheers from everybody. He made a point to go by, and everybody loved him. The day before, he was in Harlem. That is a Democrat footprint all over Harlem, but not anymore. Again, he got cheered, celebrated in Harlem. This kind of campaigning, as he's on his way to court, is actually carrying out some very strong messages. But back inside the court and what's being decided or not decided, Jonathan Turley, George Washington law professor, got a question on Fox News.
Are we setting up for some really bad case law here?
Well, I think that you've really captured the moment for the justices. They would love this cup to pass from their lips, but they have to drink. They've been avoiding this for decades. You know, they had a case involving civil immunity where they did say that a president needs immunity in order to function, including in those sort of outer, you know, parameters of his office. The question is, does that extend to criminal law, to criminal charges? And what's often been discussed in the media is how extreme the Trump team's arguments are, bringing up SEAL Team 6 and things like that. But the justices may be equally concerned about the extreme nature of the lower court decision, that it leaves a president without protection. So they've got cliffs on both sides. Either they go over one side and a president has no protections at all, or you go over the other side and a president has total protections and can do most anything. There's a good chance that some of these justices are going to want a third option, something more nuanced, where a president has some protection.
Are they going to split the baby? Are they going to cut the baby in half? No, there's still, as he said, a third option. We'll come back to that, but keep it in mind. Let's go again to Justice Sotomayor, asking again one of the Trump attorneys, who's also served previously as a Missouri Solicitor General, John Sauer, and she's saying, you're asking us to create something here.
We would be creating a situation in which we would be saying, this is what you're asking us to say, which is that a president is entitled not to make a mistake, but more than that, a president is entitled for total personal gain to use the trappings of his office. That's what you're trying to get us to hold. without facing criminal liability.
Well, of course, that is her viewpoint. Now, whether or not it ends up in her judgment, we'll have to see. And Jonathan Turley mentioned maybe they're looking for another way, not this cliff, not that cliff, but it could be a cliff in front of them, but it would be a third option.
I think the court's going to have a really tough time grappling with this, but there's also practical issues here. Let's say that the court wants a third option, something more nuanced. This is, after all, an incrementalist court. They tend to try to take small steps, not great leaps. If that's the case, the most obvious thing for them to do would be to remand it back to the district court to say, we need you to look at more carefully at this record and what here is really related to his office, what you know, where do these questions fall? If they do that, I don't think that they could try the president before the election. And if they don't try the president before the election, Jack Smith may never see a jury in either of these cases.
Big point. That's a very big point. Now, let me give you the other side. Always trying to give you balance. Justice Amy Coney Barrett, appointed by Trump, or nominated, I should say, and then confirmed by the Senate. She had a very lengthy discussion with the prosecutors representing the government, and she made it clear that you are expressing concern, you want speed. And in this, she said she sketched out a case where they could remand it back to another court and not allow any additional further appeals involvement, which means it could be that Trump would be on trial before the election. Judge Barrett's acknowledging that possibility. Well, the court, of course, has heard the arguments today and is, quote, pondering. University campuses are seeing more and more anti-Israeli rallies. Now, they claim to be for the PLO, but many are openly declaring support for what Hamas did and basically saying Israel and the Jews deserve that attack. And these rallies are no longer just at Poison Ivy League universities. University of Texas, one of the latest. To beep a lot of it out, but you heard the main thing. Let him go, because police were taking a guy into custody. They're not holding back in Texas. They're grabbing them up. The Governor Abbott says, good. And the university president says, we will not allow this kind of thing on our campus. If it's peaceful, okay, but it's getting out of control. Democrat Congressman Omar, of course, she has her view, and you know it's the squad view, but let's give her a chance to voice her thoughts.
They don't want their tax dollars to be complacent. And for the member who said, you know, like, don't waste your parents' money, they don't want their parents' money to go in supporting a genocide that they oppose. And so I do believe that history is going to be on their side. And these members who think this is a political opportunity to turn the world against these people who are standing for a morally just right cause are going to be looked at and mocked in history.
Really? Really? Will you, let me ask you, Congresswoman Omar, will you say that what Hamas did in crossing the border on October 7, attacking innocent people, civilians, children, throwing some babies into ovens, microwaves, raping women in front of their husbands and children, executing them on the spot, and then taking many prisoners, would you say that that was the horrible thing you're talking about? No, you're talking about, I know you're talking about Gaza and the effort by the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, to get, one, the hostages free, and two, to destroy Hamas. I don't really give a damn about Hamas. I care about the innocent civilians that are caught in the middle. Those that are innocent. But we heard also yesterday, for the first time I'd heard it stated, that following, my guest pointed it out, after the Hamas troops went in and started doing all the killing, Palestinian citizens, supposedly not Hamas, also crossed the border and started grabbing up whatever they could as treasures, looting the Israeli homes. There's a lot more to this picture, but they want to boil it down to the fact that innocent people are dying in Gaza. That I understand, and that pains me. But innocent people died October 7, and Israel is not just seeking retribution. Israel wants to make itself safe forever from Hamas. And if Hamas really wanted to be peaceful, release all the hostages right now, and the shooting could stop. And, of course, surrender, because they're going to want them destroyed as well. That's not going to happen. So why aren't you out there yelling and protesting for peace, peace? But no, and they want to claim PLO, PLO, from the river to the sea, and some of these students can't even name what river it is. One of them even was questioned about it, but it's so noisy you couldn't hear it, and she said, I guess I need to be more educated. You are at a university where I assume you would be educated. Or what are you taking? Meditation art for the future? Oh, I've got a perfect story on that. My boots on the ground sent me that I'm going to share with you a little bit later. And keep in mind, some of those same students in these rallies are the ones they want you to pay their student loans. Now, what is the president doing? What does the White House have to say? Here's KJP in a question to her.
Just what's the president's personal reaction to what he's seeing playing out on these college campuses? What would it be his message to those who are peacefully protesting, those who feel targeted, all sides of the community?
No, I hear your question. I think the president's been very clear. He put out a statement in his Passover statement. He talked about we can't be silent here. Silent is complicit, and we can't allow that. We believe in First Amendment rights, right? We believe in people being able to express themselves in a peaceful manner. But when we're talking about hateful rhetoric, when we're talking about violence, we have to call that out. We have to call that. And we've been consistent here throughout this administration. The president has been consistent about it, obviously, since 2017, but even before that, when he saw what happened in Charlottesville. We have to call out hateful, violent rhetoric. But, we want to make sure that people have the opportunity to peacefully protest. Protest.
Yeah. Bring out Charlottesville. Bring it out. Why don't you bring out the summer riots where they were killing and looting and burning and attacking federal officers? Why don't you bring that out? Just slip Charlottesville in there. Next hour, a Catholic bishop calling out President Biden regarding his faith. The bishop did issue a retraction on one remark. Did he do it after backlash from the White House? What happened? We'll get into that. Plus, Victor Davis Hanson on why U.S. citizens are joining the effort to destroy our country. Also coming up in the next hour. But coming up next, House Speaker Johnson, he did agree to Ukraine funding. Did he get suckered by national intel agencies? Or is Mike Johnson just too weak for the job? A scathing, really terrible statement and piece of writing by John Daniel Davidson of the Federalist. Coming up, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. 4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, my guest. We've had on numerous times before, and I really wanted him this time around because he is extremely right in your face on this subject. John Daniel Davidson, senior editor of The Federalist. John, welcome back aboard.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, of course, I also want to point out to the audience, your writings often appear in the Wall Street Journal, New York Post, and elsewhere, and you're author of the book called Pagan. Now, there were reports the other day when Mike Johnson decided to push forward the Ukraine funding, and 111 Republicans were against it, but he got 100 to side with him. So they, with the 210 of the Democrats, they got it passed through. Some were saying, well, he did that because he had a big SCIF meeting with national intel agencies, and what they told him scared the daylights out of him, and he realized, we've got to do this. You have an article where you say, no, he didn't cave. You pointed out he's weak and unprincipled. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I don't believe for a minute that Mike Johnson went into some classified intel briefing on Ukraine and learned that there is some apocalyptic plan from Moscow that caused him to pull a 180 and completely repudiate everything he's been saying for months and months about Ukraine funding and what, you know, Republican priority should be. I just don't believe it. I think that what the more reasonable explanation is that he wasn't telling the truth when he previously opposed funding for Ukraine. But now that he's speaker, he realizes that in order to keep his speakership, he has to do what the Republican establishment and the Democrats and military industrial complex wanted to do. And so he's just, you know, he's just going back on his word.
Political survivorship. But the Politicos said, they said, no, it was after these sobering briefings, they kind of woke him up, said, Mike, look what could happen.
Well, look, he didn't find out that Ukraine was running out of ammo, because we've known that for months. He didn't find out that Ukraine is having trouble recruiting military-age men to fight on the front lines. We've known that for months. That's all public knowledge. Yeah. If he found out that Putin was going to launch a nuclear weapon and invade Poland, well, then he needs to come out and hold a press conference and tell the American people that, so that the rest of us can also have our minds changed about the Ukraine war. But instead, he's basically just saying, screw what the voters want. Screw what most Republican lawmakers in Congress want. Just take my word for it. I'm doing the right thing, and shut up and sit down, and we're going to pass $61 billion more in Ukraine funding in addition to the, you know, billions we've already sent over there.
Congressman Massey Congressman Massey was in the same SCIF meeting, and he said, I didn't hear anything that came close to what Mike Johnson claims.
Yeah, exactly. So we have people who have gone to these same briefings, and they're disagreeing that, you know, that with Johnson, and saying that he's mischaracterizing what was said in those briefings. And so the obvious explanation, the simplest explanation to me, is that Mike Johnson is just a weak, duplicitous creature of Washington who will do and say anything to hold on to power, a very familiar sort of figure that we've all seen over the years in Washington, D.C., and he fits that mold perfectly.
I'm going to admit to you, I'm extremely disappointed, because when he appeared on the scene, I understand he's a strong Christian man, a man of faith, and he wants to do things what he thinks are right and so forth. But he also did say, as you pointed out, he vowed to stand with those, Cruz, Chip Roy, and others, saying no more money for Ukraine until we fully secure our border. And then 180, as you said.
Yeah, and not only did he not do anything to help secure the border, and use that leverage. Like, the whole idea is that you use Ukraine funding. I'm not saying that Republicans with their slim majority can do whatever they want, but you use what leverage you have. And Ukraine funding is something Biden and the Democrats really wanted. So use that leverage to get something done that Republicans want want to be done, and compromise. So you can have more Ukraine funding, but in exchange for that, we want something for our priorities that our voters are telling us is important to them, which is securing the border. Not only did he not do that, this foreign aid package included $4 billion for the open borders NGOs that operate along the border and facilitate illegal immigration and moving immigrants into the interior of the country.
I'm glad.
So not only did he not help secure the border, he made it worse.
I'm glad you brought up the NGOs, because that is a big question mark with me. I think some of them might have begun with Catholic Charities. Some of them might have begun with really going to help these people, but now they've turned into a thriving enterprise. I mean, how do we get an NGO listing so we can get some of that money? We'll buy a hotel somewhere, put them in there, and then we'll overprice tickets and everything else. And they're paying, as you said, $4 billion for migration refugee assistance. There's a big grift going on, big grift.
Yeah, exactly. And it pains me to say it, but, you know, I'm a Catholic myself, but Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley, some of these major Catholic charities operating along the border, they are ideologically driven organizations. They are totally for open borders. They believe everyone in the world has a right to migrate into the U.S., and they actively facilitate aid and abet, knowingly aid and abet illegal immigration, and they cannot be ignorant of the degree to which the cartels are controlling and profiting off of illegal immigration. And they're a part of that. And we're a part of that now, too, because we're funding it. We're funding them.
I want to read for the audience. And again, we're listening to John Daniel Davidson, senior editor of The Federalist. You'll also see his writings in The Wall Street Journal, New York Post. I want to read your last paragraph in full, sir. Give me just a moment to do it for the audience that may not have seen it. I encourage you to go to The Federalist, look it up. In fact, I encourage you to lock onto The Federalist as one of your prime sources going forward. Your final paragraph: the simplest explanation for Johnson's duplicity, however, is not some secret briefing that's so terrifying no one can know about, but that Johnson is a feckless, easily manipulated creature of Washington who was wholly unprepared as speaker to fight for Republican voters and serve their interests, period.
That's right. If Johnson were really there to serve his constituents, and to even just to serve the Republican conference, as you mentioned at the top of this discussion, most Republicans in the House voted against this package. What does that tell you about Johnson's speakership? Who is he the speaker for? Well, clearly he's the speaker for the Democrats and the Biden White House and the permanent bureaucracy in Washington that subsists off of these sort of, you know, never-ending funding packages. That's who he's serving. His priorities lie with those people. They don't lie with the Republicans, and certainly not with Republican voters.
But some are saying on the Republican side he's a man of principle, and he's putting his career at stake by taking this position.
Well, we've seen many, many Republicans over the years have long and illustrious careers as swamp creatures in Washington by doing the exact same thing that Mike Johnson has just done: kowtow to the military-industrial complex, to the permanent regime in Washington, to the uniparty, whatever you want to call them, they don't go anywhere, right? They do have the power in Washington. And aligning yourself with that power is a good move if you want to be a person of influence, or if you just want to cash in. You know, let's say he gets cashiered out of the speakership and he loses his seat. He's going to be fine because he's shown himself to be loyal to the power structure in Washington. So
and the defense industry. Defense industry, all of them be putting bids up for him. But here's the other issue. As you well know, Marjorie Taylor Greene still has not pushed forward her resolution. She's got some who say they will support her. Others aren't sure. But again, the revolving door of the speakership, what do we do next with Johnson? Who's ready to come up and do what we need to be done? And on the bottom line, how does it hurt the election going forward into 2024, since every member of the House is up for a re-election?
Yeah, I don't know. And 2016 taught me to get out of the predictions business when it comes to politics. But it is a difficult situation. I think it's important that Republicans, that are not in thrall to the uniparty in Washington, impose some sort of a cost on people like Johnson when they do stuff like this. Like if only to send the message that if you betray your constituents and you work overtime to enact Democrat priorities, there will be some sort of a cost imposed on you.
Anything come to mind?
Get off.
Anything come to mind on the cost? The penalty?
Kick him off. Eject him from the speakership.
Now, has he compromised his leadership anyway and allowed the Democrats to also hold part of the leadership of the House?
He effectively is exercising his speakership on behalf of the Democrats right now. What has he done to advance Republican priorities? Nothing. He did what the White House and the permanent bureaucracy wanted with FISA Section 702. He did the same thing with his foreign aid package. What has he actually done for Republicans? Nothing.
It's pretty hard to add another point to that. John, as always, I certainly appreciate your insight. Thanks for making time for us, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, Larry.
You bet. We'll do it again. John Daniel Davidson, senior editor of The Federalist. I highly recommend, if you're not already subscribed to The Federalist, you get it and see these articles on a daily basis. They have a massive amount of great talent and pieces they put out, and I can't get to all of them. And even then, it's trying to get them on the program because they're all booked for many other programs as well. Coming up, what Joe Biden did at an abortion rally that really ticked people off more than normal. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beal knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beal started in the roofing business, helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beal Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
Then China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
He is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At newstalkstl.com.
My sponsor, McGuire Moving, has job openings for drivers and movers offering competitive pay. You can be off every night if you want or on the road. You're off every other weekend. Full benefits, insurance, paid vacations. But McGuire is a very good company. So here's a very important requirement. You must excel in making customers happy. Full or part-time job? More information, go to McGuireMoving.com. Apply online at McGuireMoving.com/careers.
This is News Talk STL.
Well, I got me a gal in Pekin. She's a good old gal, okay. Oh, she's sitting there waiting by a window fan on a long, hot summer day. For every day I'm working on the Illinois River, get a half a day off with pay. Oh, Lobo picking up barges on a long, hot summer day.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
And then we come back here to the state of Florida, where Ron DeSantis felt like he needed to run for president, and so 15 weeks wasn't good enough. We had to go to 6 weeks. And then we come back here to the state of Florida, where Ron DeSantis felt like he needed to run for president, and so 15 weeks wasn't good enough. We had to go to 6 weeks. And then we come back here to the state of Florida, where Ron DeSantis felt like he needed to run for president, and so 15 weeks wasn't good enough. We had to go to 6 weeks.
Now, we duplicated her statement three times because there was something Joe Biden was doing each time she made that remark. Obviously, she is pro-abortion. They're in the state of Florida making this rally and making it clear that, you know, we had to come back here and fight this because DeSantis is trying to, again, limit restrictions on abortions. Joe Biden is standing beside her, and he does something. Each time you heard her say that, he does something which absolutely infuriated many, even Catholics who are willing to accept abortions despite the Vatican declaration. What did he do, Larry? What did he do? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. I just happen to have the answer for you. He made what would be, you could say, a pious gesture. This is all taking place in Tampa while the Florida Democrat Party chairwoman complained about Ron DeSantis tightening the six-week ban on abortion. What do I mean by a pious gesture? Well, as she was speaking, Biden motioned the cross by touching his forehead, chest, and shoulders in the traditional formula that Catholics use. As it's pointed out in the president of the Catholic vote, he said the sign of the cross is an ancient expression of piety that has existed since at least the 3rd century, commonly used by Catholic and Orthodox churches as a form of blessing. Biden's use of the sign of the cross in support of abortion, because that's what this woman was doing, in support of abortion is, in his words, a disgusting insult towards all Christians, but especially Catholics whom he claims as his own. That's pretty straightforward. But he added this: the sign of the cross is a sacred gesture used by believers to bless themselves, ask forgiveness, or to protect them from temptation. Instead, Biden turned this ancient Christian practice into an endorsement of abortion extremism. Wow, that's a powerful statement. And again, that is from the president of Catholic Vote, Brian Birch. The Florida Conference of Catholic Bishops had released a statement earlier this month saying, "We urge all Floridians of goodwill to stand against the legalization of late-term abortion and oppose the abortion amendment. In doing so, we will not only protect the weakest, most innocent, defenseless of human life among us, but countless women throughout the state from the harms of abortion." See, they're dealing with Amendment 4 as proposed by the Florida pro-choice groups. It would declare, quote, "No law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability or when necessary to protect the patient's health as determined by the patient's health care provider." But all of that aside, it all got lost. All that language I just read to you, all got lost when she's talking about we had to come back here and we're going to rally against Ron DeSantis and those extremists, these extremists who want to protect unborn. Who's the extremist? Seriously, who's the extremist? And when I hear women say, it's my right, it's a woman's right. First of all, if the man is still involved in the life, your life, and wants to be part of the life of that baby, it is not just your right, your decision. But above that, above and beyond that, if you want to argue that point, fine. But this argument you cannot deny. You cannot deny what I'm going to say right now. I've said it repeatedly. I'll do it again for that very purpose. If your mother had made the decision to abort you, you would not be standing here to make any declaration one way or the other. Period. Shouldn't have to repeat it again, but I probably will. Now, in the next hour, a Catholic bishop calls out Joe Biden, calls him out, and uses a word that later he says, maybe I shouldn't have used that word, but he did. We'll deal with that in the next hour. And, of course, we have Joe Biden. One of the first things he did when he came into office was shut down Keystone Pipeline, executive order. That was difficult. We'd still deal with it. Of course, he shut down on the oil, gas, leasing, so forth. Difficult, but we're still working through that. Now we've got these various mother loads of lithium found around Arkansas and then around the Oregon border. And in the Oregon border region, most major deposit of lithium in the world. So we can start excavating that. Now, lithium is not, quote, an energy source directly. It's not, quote, a fossil fuel. I was debating that with someone the other day. They said, well, it's a mineral. I said, I know it's a mineral. I understand that. But the point is, you got to use fossil fuel activity to get it out. And on top of that, then you're going to put it into electric vehicles, and what's the lifespan of them? But it will take us away from being dependent upon China. But on the other side, this administration does not want to do any more drilling and digging of our environmental landscape. Which is it? Are we going to be subject to China? And I mean as subjects. Are we going to be independent and free as we were under Trump when we had basically, we were an exporter of oil and gas, and we had our reserve topped off at all the 750 million barrels we could put in there. Now it's down to 200, maybe less. But when it comes to the other big issue, and of course inflation is tied to what I just discussed as well, the other big issue is illegal immigration. What did Joe Biden do? First day in office, executive order, open the border, start letting everybody come in. But now suddenly something has hit them in the White House said, we can't really take executive action to stop everybody from coming. You've got to be absolutely lying to me, KJP.
Should we interpret him saying he's going to come back to it as a sign that he's going to do some executive action?
Well, look, we've always been very clear. No executive action is actually going to do what that border security plan would have done.
You're absolutely. We're not that stupid. By executive action, you open it. By executive action, you shut it again. Now, I know it doesn't give you all the immigration laws you want and the amnesty and the cover. I understand that. But you're going to tell me that there's no executive action Joe Biden can do to shut the border? If he opened it, he can damn well turn around and order it shut. Why wouldn't he? Oh, it's that woke cause, isn't it? Because of all the woke out there, we can't really do everything that they want us to do, so we'll find a way around it. Right. The anti-Semitic rallies, as we were discussing at the beginning of the program, are really not just organic. You might think they are, but they're not. There are mobs coming in from all over, joining and showing up on campuses. They're not a member of the student body. and they're just coming in as basically paid agitators. You just leave it, of course, to the progressive left to also look for an opportunity, such as Joy Reid, to insert in the midst of these rallies racism.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The first person to actually criminally prosecute Donald Trump is a black Harvard grad. Donald Trump is being held to account by the very multicultural, multiracial democracy that he's trying to dismantle. There's something poetic and actually wonderful about that. Go DEI. My DEIs are bringing it home.
My DEIs are bringing it home. Joy Reid. One of the most dumb women on TV, and there are a lot of them, but I'm going to rank her as among the very top. But what she wants to point out is that you've got this DEI program, and you also have all of these folks that are willing to step forward and say, we're going to basically get rid of everything we possibly can because we can, and we're going to start with our schools. Of course, we're also going to make sure all those students that are out there protesting that they are actually going to end up getting more money because you, the taxpayer, you're going to pay for them. You're going to pay for them. And we're talking about illegals as we were a moment ago. The Washington Examiner pointing out again the other day, just 2 days ago, the surge of Chinese immigrants crossing the border is triggering national security concerns, as well it should. You shouldn't have to have this even put in front of you by me or by any member of the media. If you're aware that many Chinese nationals, military-age men, are coming across our border on a continuous basis, and you don't think that they are basically invading our nation and forming a fifth column behind and inside our protective areas? Either you're with them or you're absolutely as dumb as Joy Reid. But the Washington Examiner points out, Border Patrol agents over the past year have arrested tens of thousands of Chinese immigrants. Tens of thousands. Preceding COVID, there were maybe a couple thousand, fewer than 2,000 stopped at the southern border. But they have already caught 24,000 coming into the country, walking through unfenced areas. And they've done that just since October to March. 24,000 they stopped. That doesn't talk about the gotaways. We've already been told that there's something like 1.9 million gotaways. 1.9 million. And why are they gotaways? In many cases, they're going through in the dark of night. They're going through areas where they're not going to be seen. You're not going to be able to find them because they do not want to be located. There's just no way they want that to happen. They are definitely on the road the best they can to make sure that they get where they want to without being spotted. Sometimes they get caught on some cameras and video from the Border Patrol or others. Some ranchers who have their own cameras set up looking for coyotes, and I'm talking about the four-legged kind, not coyotes, which are the two-legged kind, that are basically trying to get illegals inside our border. And I cannot fail to mention, I will not fail to mention, what is going on with illegals when it comes to children. This is something so many progressive regressives need to be held accountable for. We have children, again, an untold number of children, last check, 300,000 or more, that have come across the border, and we don't know where they are now. And those are the ones they're trying to find, and that we know came across with someone claiming to be a father or a mother. They might actually have been, or some relative. But we don't know where these kids are now. How does Joe Biden put his head on the pillow at night, say his prayers, and not think of those children and what he's doing to them? I heard some of you. I'm going to repeat what I heard you say because I've heard it in public as well. Because Joe Biden is a pedophile. Many have suspected that. They don't like the way he grabs the little girls in particular when he's standing near them, leaning down, sniffing their hair, their neck. There's clear video where a couple people are being introduced for a cabinet position or something of that nature. They brought their children with them. Bad idea. And one little girl I remember in particular standing in front of Joe Biden, he's got his hands all over on her shoulders, rubbing them and almost reaching down around her breasts, small as they are. She hadn't even reached puberty. What the hell kind of man does that? Coming up, the Catholic bishop that calls Biden out and Victor Davis Hanson on Biden. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.